Everybody's quiet. You know, you were real quiet last week when I taught on contribution. Those are big issues for some people, I think. Contribution, what was the other one? Focus and contribution, two big issues. Okay, so let's jump in. We don't have much feedback from the audience, so we'll just jump in and talk about our two chapters this time, which is going to be chapter 5 is on honesty and chapter 6 is on honor. Two incredible characteristics of a compassionate samurai. So honesty, let's jump into that one. It's a big one, big issue for a lot of us, and I think today's call will probably tweak some of you a little bit. It's great information. I was moved by some of it myself, as I am every time I deal with, you know, characteristics and things that we want to try to achieve in our lives that perhaps we're not fully achieving, and way to look at ourselves differently. And that's why what we want to do is be green and growing. Let's take another look, turn that crystal, and look at us a different way. The lead-in quote that Clemmer had for this chapter on honesty was from George Washington, which I find is a great quote. "I hope I shall possess firmness and virtue enough to maintain what I consider the most enviable of all titles, the character of an honest man." And that was by George Washington. So honesty, of course, we sit back and we say, let's open the question, are you honest? And most people, if you ask that question to them, if I asked it to all of you on this call, most of you would say, well, yeah, I'm honest. And then there would be a little hesitation, and perhaps a but would enter into the picture. Because we tend to dilute honesty. We tend to give it a new definition, or we rationalize, or we make it conditional. And we do all sorts of things with that incredible word honesty. But honesty, genuine honesty, truthfulness, is not hidden or diluted. You either have it or you don't. We in our society, in this country, have become very desensitized to dishonesty. We even have sometimes a hard time even recognizing it. We look at things very differently than we have historically in our past. And the reason for that is that there's a lot of it going on, and we see it in politics. We see it, across the board. We see it in our leaders, you know, when we see our major leaders be dishonest. And we can go into a lot of issues around that. With leader after leader, it's not a political program. It doesn't just stay with Democrats or Republicans. It passes all of them, you know. We can look at the dishonesty in the Clinton administration about whether he was having an affair, and that was unbelievable by a leader, our number one leader, CEO, or our commander-in-chief, to set that kind of standard. And then we get the Bush era, and we have the Iraq war based on weapons of mass destruction, which they knew didn't exist or virtually knew, and we have all the information that, you know, that they had that really would have led to a totally different conclusion. They just wanted to be in the war. And so all this stuff we see and we can go on and on and on about the political realm. We could do it in our religious realm. We see dishonesty among evangelists, the television evangelists, the stealing and the money that goes. I mean, it just crosses every sector. It's not just in one sector and not in another. It seems to be, you know, just rampant in our society today that people have. So we as a society, because leadership around us tends to be desensitized to dishonesty, we tend to fall into that trap. But the reality, if there is, there are no ifs, ands, or buts. The truth is the truth. So we need to start looking and recognizing what dishonesty is about. Some of us prefabricate exception clauses, and one of the major areas, even for the most honest people you know, if you start asking them about what they do on their taxes, it's just, you know, it's incredible what people will do on a tax return and yet look at you straight in the face and say, I'm totally honest. And I'm not talking about somebody taking a position on their tax return, like with home-based businesses and writing off. But it's incredible what people will do around what they write off for their home-based business that they know is dishonest. But they go, well, they'll never catch me doing that. And people do that all the time. And it's a sad thing, because when you start opening up cracks, it's like a dam. You're either complete and you're honest, or you're allowing cracks in the dam. And you know what happens to the cracks in the dam? The pressure soon builds up and it causes the whole dam to collapse. And we're the same way. So we don't want cracks in our dam. We want to be totally honest, or we don't want to. We are going to be dishonest. It's not a concept of some kind of level of honesty, right? And it was. It even gets to the point where people that can actually tell the truth and they can still be dishonest. And we're going to talk about that today too, because is it the whole truth and nothing but the truth, or is it, you know, just kind of true and you're hiding certain facts, and those kind of things happen as well. But the idea is to hold yourself to be a truthful and honest person. The compassionate samurai are honest not only when it's convenient to be honest, but at all times, even if it costs their life or when no one else is around. In other words, when no one else is around and no possibility of anyone ever finding out, are you still honest? And they even did a Gallup poll study about, you know, would you shoplift if it was impossible for you to get caught? And, you know, even and I don't remember what the statistic was, but it was pretty significant. And it just is a sad thing. So it's all about whether you have repercussions or not. That's conditional honesty. Well, I call it total dishonesty. I don't even call it conditional honesty. So we look at our own lives and we say, what are acceptable lies for us? And some of us walk around with acceptable lies in the fact that we don't tell the whole truth. We tend to hold back. And we see that even happen when people ask us to meetings, or when you ask people to go to a management meeting. When you say, hey, I'm having a meeting at my house this week. I'm going to talk about a new program that's going to help people build residual income, and you can really touch and impact a lot of lives. Would you like to come? And the person goes, well, what day is it? Thursday at 7 o'clock. Okay, well, I'll try to come. And they know down deep they're just saying that to make you happy. How many times do we say things to people to make them happy or make them just go away or make them not be discouraged with us instead of telling the full truth? If you have no intent on being there, tell people you have no intent on being there. I was asked the other day at church if I was coming to Sunday night service, and I said, no, I don't intend on being there. I'm not looking at them trying to look good about being honest about whether I was planning on coming or not. I didn't, you know, the thought probably historically in the past, maybe 10, 15 years ago, might have crossed my mind to say, well, we're going to see if we can make it. But you know, but I don't even, I mean, to say that today would be so ludicrous to me, it wouldn't even make sense. Because if I know I'm not going to be there, I'm going to tell they're not going to be there. But again, we get stuck in making statements in our language, in our communication with people to try to look good or out of fear or out of pride. There are many reasons why we kind of go to quote unquote the acceptable lie when we know that something isn't necessarily full truth, but we say it to just get out of a situation. So you tell people what you want them to hear versus the whole truth and nothing but the truth. When you do that kind of stuff, when you tell people things like that, you're really a disservice to yourself, and you're also a disservice to the other person. Because all you've got to do is look at how many people told you they were going to show up at a Manatech meeting, and you invite 10 and they all committed, and you show up to the meeting and 2 show up. That's 8 people. And you can, you know, we tend to blow that off. My concept is I call those 8 people back, and I find out why they didn't show up. Because I'm not doing them a favor by letting them get off the hook by misrepresenting and being dishonest with me. So I call them back up and find out why they didn't show up, or ask them and say, I'm sorry you didn't make it, but I sure want to share the information. And I kind of put them on a spot a little bit, because that's kind of fun to do too, because that's how we hold people accountable. If we're not holding people accountable, then we're allowing this epidemic of dishonesty to be pervasive in our society. So we need to call people on it, and we need to start setting a new standard. And you can say to me, well, Mary Jo, how can I set a new standard? I mean, look at what's going on in Washington. Look at what's going on in Hollywood. Look at what's going on in the churches. Look what's going on in the school system. Look what's going on in corporate America. We got Enron. We got so much trash around us. And I go, well, but if you don't step up and start changing, you know, it gets back to that starfish story. You may be just one starfish, but you want to make a difference in whatever way you can, because that's what starts the bigger difference. It starts grassroots, and it's about us taking on a new standard, or taking our standard we have about honesty and creating a difference in as many people's lives as we interact with. So establish a new standard. Take it upon yourself to look at what that new standard needs to be for you, and then start applying it with other people. And hopefully it's one of total honesty. The truth is truth. How many ways do we have of being dishonest? I just put a bunch of them in there that came out of the book, telling someone something that's not true. I got a big charge out of this one around Manitech, because sometimes we get involved, we get so caught up in things to do and marketing strategies and different things, we get so caught up in it, and what happens to us is that we don't even see it when we're being dishonest. So let's take, for instance, like in Manitech, the last couple of years we had a program that was called the Backpacks, and people would train this. They would train people, you know, buy 20 backpacks, and then what you do is you go out and you hand them out to people and you tell them, you know what, I need this back in 24 hours because I have other people waiting for it, so could you please commit to listen to it? And I would hear these trainings, and I would sit in the back and go, that's a lie. I mean, it's a lie. And then people would say to me, well, yeah, Mary Jo, but that's the way we get people to, and I go, so you're going to compromise your integrity so you can manipulate people. Is that what you're telling me? I mean, I would teach it, and I go, well, you know, and I would say that, because I don't like people that, you know, that's that crack in the dam, people. That's the crack. And now you're rationalizing why it's okay to be dishonest, right? Because you want to affect, so like the ends justify the means? Whoa, I don't want to live in that set of shoes. So why can't you just say to somebody when you hand it to them, you can say, can you please try to listen to this tonight? My heart is so intent on supporting you that I know what a difference it could make for your life. Now, what's wrong with that? That's totally honest. So why not come from honesty instead of from deception? Because deception will breed deception. Dishonesty will interfere with that relationship. And when that person finds out you had 20 more packs sitting at your house and you had them do that and you didn't have anyone waiting for them, or when they sign up after they do that and then you teach them how to lie to other people, hey, buy 20 packs and this is what you say. Here's your training about how to use this backpack. I'm telling you, people, it might work for some, but it's not going to work for many. And the other problem is that you're promoting this, you know, epidemic of dishonesty in our society, which we would like to quash, not promote. So be careful of how we use, you know, language that we know something's not true, but we use it because we're trying to, you know, what's not so. So let's say you're in a coaching program. Here's a great concept. I have people that's in coaching with me, and they go, I say, well, how many people did you talk to last week? And they said, 5. I made 5 contacts last week, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, really? Did you talk to 5 people? Well, Mary Jo, no, I called 5 people, and 3 of them I didn't get through to, but I left a message. And I go, there we go. Right away, you see the difference? It's an illusion. You're giving an illusion. If you tell me you talked to 5 people last week, that means you talked to them. You didn't leave a message on their answering machine. So how do you get around that? You get clarity in your words. Make sure that when you're working with people you're coaching with or working with, that you have clarity in what you mean. Because people love to be dismissive about terminology. They'll say, well, that's what I thought you meant. How many people did I attempt to contact? And I said, no, I didn't ask you how many people did you attempt to contact. I said, how many people did you talk to last week? Very different words than attempt to contact. So you want to make sure that you have clarity in a relationship with people so they don't try to shortchange you and get around your terminology by using different words. Another thing that comes up in network marketing, which I heard from day one, you know, I never did network marketing until I got involved with Manitech. So it was a totally new experience for me. And I'll never forget when I heard this, that people would start teaching, fake it until you make it. And I would be like, what do you mean fake it until you make it? And what they're trying to say is that you want to go out there and act like you're a multimillionaire when you work with people and, you know, wear a fancy suit and have affirmations about you're a multimillionaire and just, you know, you just take them out and wine and dine them and spend tons of money and da-da-da-da-da. And if they ask you questions, you can say, yes, you know, I'm a millionaire, because you could be talking about where you're going to be 12 months from now. And I would just collapse under the weight of all that fraud. It would just cause me to collapse. I mean, what's wrong with believing in network marketing, that it could create a result for you, but not having to have to go and fake it? The reality is, let's step up to the plate and be who we are. come from real, come from authentic, and watch the difference that you build in relationships. Again, unbelievable difference in what you're going to create. The third way we tend to be dishonest is we're not telling what is so. In other words, we don't want to tell the truth because we don't want to look bad. So sometimes we withhold information to avoid consequences. And that can be about setting goals. I use structural tension as an important aspect of this because a lot of people I work with, when I help them set goals, I said one of the most important things you do when you're setting goals, and you guys have been through it, have been on my calls at the end of the year in December when I do goal setting exercises, is the fact that I have you get a reality check. Yeah, because I want you to look at your life where it is today. So if you're, excuse me, some water. So if you look at your life today and you say, where am I in Manitec today? What level am I at? Am I at, am I regional director? And some people say, well, I'm a national director today and I'm trying to get to executive. And I'll go look at the internet and they're at 4,500. You have to, it takes 6,000 a volume to be a national director. And that has to be properly distributed. So I'm wondering, why would somebody misrepresent to me about where they are? And if you're misrepresenting to me, then you're misrepresenting to yourself. And when you misrepresent for yourself of where you are, then the problem really becomes, how do you ever create the structural tension? How can I help you get from national executive when you're not even at national to start with? Because your whole mental frame will be, how do I get the national to executive? And yet, internally, you're not even at national. You're gonna cause this dissension among your own brain. You're gonna cause this lie or this misrepresentation that's gonna permeate your thought process and your goal setting. And now nothing will work properly in the right direction for you. So you start off with pure honesty. You want to say exactly what is truthful about where you are today, so that you can create the structural tension between where you are today and where you're gonna be. There is no structural tension when the base is a lie. So stick with telling what's so, and then watch what you can create in your life, because you're basing your foundation on truth. This has a lot to do, too, with people working with their financial status, as well as the next one. The fourth thing that they talked about in what, you know, ways that we're dishonest is pretending not to know. Honesty with yourself is equally as important as honesty with others. If you are dishonest with yourself, again, you're going to delay your own progress by holding yourself back with things that are not true, even if everyone else knows. You're going to cause a delay within your own personal growth. And when we look at personal finances, that's a huge area. People constantly lie about their personal finances. They don't want to own up to where they are. But the most powerful thing you can do is own up to it, because that's the only way you can deal with it. The reason you're not owning up is because you don't want to deal with it. Or you feel it's overwhelming and you can't deal with it, so you just ignore it. I don't know about you, but when people ignore creditors, I don't see the creditors go away. In fact, they just hound you and hound you and hound you to death. They'll file lawsuits, they'll garnish your wages, they'll take away checking accounts and savings accounts. I mean, they're very creative. They have many means of getting at you. They'll file liens against your assets. Creditors are pretty determined. So I suggest to avoid that kind of plight in your life is that you get a grip and you start dealing with who you are and where you are. No matter how miserable it might look to you, it's not you personally. It's just a predicament. It's a situation. It's something that you need to grapple with and make a difference with. And you can't do that if you're dishonest with yourself. You need to start with honesty, because it's not going to go away. So, and we do that with a lot of things in our life. We do it in relationships. I have people that get in relationships, and I do some counseling and coaching with them, and you know, they're in an abusive relationship, and they keep telling me that it's going to stop. And I talk to them about their spouse or their significant other that's in this abusive relationship, and they tell me about how their father used to beat their mother, and now this guy is beating up on them, but they know it's going to stop because he loves me. And I look like, I'm like, I mean, it hurts me. they don't want to deal with the reality. They pretend not to know that this is called generational bondage, which requires significant coaching and counseling to overcome. Not love will not overcome that, not love for the other person. So it needs to come in from a different direction, but people want to pretend differently because they want something so bad for themselves, or they want to pretend it's not there because they want the relationship. They just try to redefine it. So dishonesty, you can see how destructive it is in our lives. It eats away at us. Again, if you think about dishonesty as a crack in the dam, you know what happens when there's a crack in the dam. Let's look at transparency versus honesty, because Clemmer talks about that. And transparency is really about vulnerability. It's about being authentic and really being opening yourself up to others. Honest, you can be honest with somebody without giving them the whole story of your life. You know, you can go out and talk to people about being in network marketing. You can talk about your story. You don't have to give them every bloody detail. But when it gets to being transparent, it's a whole nother level. Because transparency has a lot to do with opening yourselves up and being vulnerable in things and areas of your life where you may have gone through a learning process. I mean, I enjoy it in an immense way because I love to think about where I was 10 years ago when I first started doing network marketing. And you know, I love, my story is so much fun for me, but the transparency of who I was, you know, the concept that, you know, when I talk to people about network marketing, is all about coming from your heart. It's about loving on people and communicating from your heart. And that 10 years ago, when somebody told me that, I looked at them and I had no clue what they were talking about. I didn't know what communicating from your heart was. I mean, I was a lawyer. I was practicing lawyer. I was learned to be a shark. The only thing I learned in my training was how to take your heart out. I could dissect you without you even feeling it sometimes. But most of the time I wanted you to feel it because that's part of what we do in law. It's about dissecting with a lot of pain inflicted, you know. It's a different story. It was a different upbringing. It was a different educational process for me. And I became very good at negotiating and winning, and I believed I win, you lose. That was my life. That's how I was trained. That was my education. And what's fun is to talk about that. See, it's not something I'm proud of, but I can be very transparent about it, because hopefully in my approach to being transparent about a lot of the issues I had, having to have to be right, having to have to be in control, you know, this win-lose scenario. I had all those programs running my life. And today I can be so transparent about it because hopefully in the process of being so transparent and showing the change that I've affected in my life, the choices I've made different, to be a different person, to be in different relationships with people, hopefully that can move people to make similar choices for themselves, to be more effective in their relationships with others. And that's what it's about. It's about how do we be most effective in relationships. Well, win-lose, having to have to be right, having to have to be in control, all these programs and beliefs that run our lives are not going to support you in being effective with human beings. So transparency is really a wonderful place to come from. And it's really about serving others because, you know, for me to be transparent and recognize all the issues in my life and continuing, I continue to have issues that I grapple with, but to being able to do that is really about serving others, because in a way it doesn't serve me anymore. I've already accomplished those things, but by being open and honest and transparent about those things, hopefully other people can take a look at that and say, wow, if Mary Jo could do it and I can see some of those characteristics in me, then I can make different choices in my life as well. So it's about serving others. And the neat thing about transparency is that people will follow competency and image only so far, but they will typically follow leaders who are transparent and genuine almost anywhere you go. So a goal for all of us should be that vulnerability, that transparency, to be able to reveal that to people. We think it's weakness, but in reality it's a strength that's beyond what we could imagine. And that's another lesson, too, to understand the word vulnerable is an incredibly powerful characteristic of a compassionate samurai, of a leader, of a person that's truly got a servant's heart. Be honest because you care. That's a big one. Trust is the number one characteristic in any relationship. So if you really care about another person, then the most critical concept there is to be honest with them. Why aren't we honest with people? A lot of times we're not honest because we don't want to hurt someone's feelings. And you start rationalizing. You know, you say something and you walk away and you go, boy, that wasn't very honest. And you start rationalizing why you did it. And you find 22 different reasons why you should do it. And you know what? None of them are right. None of them. So the concept is just be honest. So people say the question, then, well, Mary Jo, what if my kids ask me if I ever took drugs? I don't want to be honest with them. I go, why? You think that if you tell your children that you at one time in your life took drugs, that that's going to, you know, you are 10 times better off to be able to talk about the experience you had, share it with them how wrong you saw it. And that's going to be more educational and more impactful on that child than you lying. It's hard to do, but we as parents don't always see that. We want to take the easy route. But when you put yourself in a dishonest situation, it's really... And sometimes putting yourself in an honest situation will cause some of that backlash to come after you. I had that happen in my life. I talked to my stepdaughter. And my stepdaughter started living with a guy before she got married. And she lived with him for a year before they got married. And when she was younger, she had talked to me about my relationship with my husband. And I said, you know, we started dating, and about a month before we got married, we moved in together. And she knew that about my past. And when she was living with this guy for a year, she would come over and she goes, well, I know you guys really object to me living with him, but you guys did it. So some of that gets thrown back in your face. And, you know, the beauty of it is that we're not all 100% perfect. The beauty of being able to admit to a child, no matter what age they are, and you can say, you know, just because I did this doesn't make it right. You've got to decide what's right in your heart and what's right before God in your life, and you've got to live your life according to that. Mary Jo Hilliker is not your standard for your life. And it was just a beautiful way of sharing that don't take a human being on earth and make that your standard for your life. Your standard is what you choose it to be, and you have a choice to make that can be much better than choices other people made, or you can make worse choices. But they're your choices, and then you live and you will have the repercussions of the choices that you make. So it was just so being honest sometimes can be painful. It can be something that brings back some things that might haunt you. But you know what? Being honest always pays. Always pays. So other areas that we tend to be dishonest in is we talk about weight. We talk about, you know, if we're overweight, we tend to go into denial about it. We lie to ourselves about that it doesn't affect our health. And we know that we know that we know. Anytime we're carrying around extra weight, we know it affects our health. The statistics, the studies, the A to Z, you know. In fact, I'm doing a training at my church in a couple weeks, and it's on cardiovascular health. And one of the big issues is, you know, what your weight is, you know, where you are weight-wise, because we put so much strain on our cardiovascular system when we carry extra weight. So we know that, but when we lie about it to ourselves, when we're not honest with ourselves about it, what happens is we tend then to cause further destruction in our life, because then we don't deal with it, we don't grapple with it, we don't take action to make a difference. So only when you first acknowledge, I am overweight, and this being overweight is causing me to have health problems, or even worse than that, some people don't have the health problems yet, so they don't want to admit. But the idea that you can look at statistic after statistic, and you know your increased risk, you know, there's increased risk of cancer with people overweight. There's increased risk of heart disease. There's 20 disease conditions that they'll list that'll tell you you have an increased risk, and every single one of these is proven statistically just by being overweight. And look at that picture. Now you're in a position being honest with yourself. So now say, do I care about myself? Now that's another issue that might be going on for you. You may not care about yourself. But we're going to talk about honoring yourself in the next chapter, so we'll get to there. But the concept is, if you care, truly do care about yourself, being honest with yourself is where you start. But self-awareness is the first step to affecting change. And it's really about choosing to do something different, choosing to honor yourself. When you start choosing to honor, and we're going to get into that like in the next chapter, then watch what you can do to make a difference in your health and in your life. But you have to be honest with yourself first to tackle the issues that you need to tackle. How is being honest like a two-edged sword? Well, being honest, I love this. He drew this in the book. He said, being honest is like paying with cash instead of a credit card. He talked about when we pay with cash, there might be some pain right there because cash is out of our pocket. But life goes on. Once we pay for it, it's done. It's done deal, so we live and breathe, and we have nothing, no guilt, no concept, no, we know we just move forward. When you pay with a credit card, you have this illusion of comfort into your life, but then when the bill comes, that's when depression sets in. So the consequences are far-reaching, and that's kind of what he drew that analogy with honesty. When you're dishonest, you may have a feeling of a level of comfort up front because you got out of something, but the guilt, it's like having a hangover for how long, who knows? It could be forever, but it's like, why do you want to experience that? Why do you want to go through that? So choose honesty to avoid that part. Honesty can cause a wound, but sometimes things need to be cut before they can heal, and I like that aspect too. It's even in relationships. Sometimes it's hard to be honest. I had a good friend of mine that came to me, and she had cheated on her husband. I mean, this is a strong Christian woman, and I mean, it just happened. And I'm not saying she took the position, it just happened, it wasn't her fault or anything. No, I'm not saying that. It's just one of those things that happened in her life. And she was overburdened with guilt and overwhelmed, and it happened to be a friend of the family. Oh my gosh, it was all like the worst possible scenario. And she came to me for advice. And my first bit of advice was to go to your husband and tell him the truth. And she just looked at me like I was crazy. I mean, she couldn't understand. She goes, oh, but you don't understand, Mary Jo, the repercussions of that and what it's going to do. I mean, these are some of our best friends. We socialize with them. We go. And I said, so you'd rather hang out with this guy knowing what happened and all this dishonesty with your husband there? Who's more important to you? You know, and she kept on she gave me all these rationalizations. It was incredible. And, you know, the fear of what it would do to her marriage. And I looked at her and I said, dishonesty is going to destroy your marriage. Let's acknowledge that up front, that dishonesty will destroy your marriage. I said, this crack will crumble that marriage. It may not crumble today or a year from now or 5 years from now, but it's the beginning of the end. So you want to cut it off at the pass right now. And then she tried to negotiate timing on it. I said, no negotiation. You want to sit down with him as soon as possible. And then we talked languaging. And that's when we finally got to the point where, I'm not kidding, the phone call I got a week later was so incredible. A week later, I got this awesome phone call from this woman who was just in tears about, you know, how tough it was, how tough the week had been, how tough the days were. But she said, you know what, Mary Jo, every day gets better. And I said, you know what, that's what happens. When you're honest, there's pain. The cut happens, and it may take time to heal. But when you're dishonest, you never start the cut. You never can heal. You carry it with you every day. It eats at you every single day until it destroys you and the relationship with it. So honesty is so powerful, so powerful. Benefits of honesty, of course, it increases intimacy. By the way, the family is still totally happy, totally married, and totally cool. So great stuff can happen when you come from honesty. Honesty increases intimacy. It brings more people and their creativity into the process, and honesty speeds things up. I think this is a big one. I think a lot of people come to me with clutter in their life, and they say they have a hard time focusing because they have so much clutter in their life. And I never thought about clutter being part of dishonesty, but I think it is. I think that clutter in your life can be, you can kind of tie it to dishonesty. And I, and people, I'm not coming from judgment when I say this about you if you have a lot of clutter in your life, but I'm just going to ask you to take a look at the clutter in your life and see where it might be tied to dishonesty. Are you, first of all, a lot of people say, oh, I'm going to clean this up. They're lying to themselves every day because they never clean up the stuff that they've cluttered all in their life, right? And they just keep collecting it, and they keep lying to themselves. So we've got an inherent level of dishonesty going on every day. And when you're dishonest with yourself, you're just destroying yourself. So there's a huge element of dishonesty there. But clutter can happen because you keep people in your life, you keep events in your life. That can be clutter as well. I'm not talking about how messy your house might look. I'm talking about relationships you might have. I'm talking about business relationships. I'm talking about what's going on at church. So much time we have clutter. We have problems. We have issues. And inherently at the core of those issues is something dishonest. Somebody's not being totally truthful with the other person. And when you're not totally truthful with somebody, then you get in all this, well, what she said is she did, and I don't know what she did, and I don't really know, and I think this is what she, it drives me crazy. Team call, and I can, yesterday. And one of the people said, well, Mary Jo, I don't know, I haven't been able to get through to her, but she left me a message, and she said, oh, don't misread, you're not being able to contact me, I'm still talking to my husband, and she says, I'm not sure if she's really serious. And I go, okay. So you're sitting here and you want to play this game and you have this clutter in your brain. Oh, I don't know. Is she going to do it or is he not going to do it? I don't know. Well, I think maybe. And you start trying to figure out whether she will, and you start looking at her characteristics and evaluating her spouse and evaluating her life and trying to judge yes or no, or you start second guessing. I go, what a bunch of clutter. What a bunch of garbage. I said, Jean, why don't you just call her up on the phone and say, Sarah, you know what? You've been heavy on my heart, and I know you left me a message the other day. I just want you to know that I'm not putting any pressure on this. If you're truly, really interested in participating in I Can, that's great. If you're not, I love you. You're a good friend of mine. Nothing will come between us. So why don't you just, let's get down to brass tacks. Are you totally interested? And if you are, then let's move forward. If you're not, then let's not. Wow. She said to me on the phone, she goes, wow, Mary Jo. And I said, is that new to you? And she goes, yeah, that's kind of new. And I said, it's called being honest. It's called calling a spade and giving the person the freedom to express herself. So if there is something that's holding her back, if there's something that she can talk to you about it, instead of her wallowing and not being honest either. She's not being honest with you because maybe she doesn't like network marketing, but she doesn't want to.
Hello, Mary Jo, are you there?
I don't hear her either.
I don't hear her either. Maybe can hear her?
Yeah, did you get you guys? Yeah, I hear everybody else.
I thought maybe I hung up somehow.
No.
The moderator has disconnected.
Yeah, can you imagine? Maybe I'm saying some tough stuff. Do you think that's what's going on? Okay, let's get back on board. Hang on a second. Let me mute everybody. Okay, mute. Sorry, it's probably my new part of it's probably my new phone starting to act up already. But we will solve that problem as well. Hang on, let me mute everybody. Oh. All right, great. Okay, so we just got done talking about clutter and the importance of getting clutter out of our life and clutter in relationships, clutter in our, stuff around our house, collecting stuff. We collect anger, we collect unforgiveness, we collect clutter, we collect all this stuff. And it's all, the core base of it is just a level of how do we be more honest with people and honest in our lives. And then the last thing about honesty is never use honesty as a way of denigrating another person. In other words, some people will talk to people and say, you have XYZ or something. You'll tell somebody smack in their face. And don't dishonor people in the process of being honest. When you see something in somebody, you can ask permission. I think it's one of the greatest ways to really help support people is say, may I give you some feedback? And feedback is exactly that. It's feedback. It's just somebody's opinion. It's not fact. But, you know, when you hear somebody and they go, ah, oh, my mother made me do this, and you just listen to this whiny, you could say, you know what, Sarah, is it open, are you open to hear some feedback? And they'll look at you and go, well, yeah, sure, Mary Jo, what do you, and I say, do you notice your languaging that you tend to put all the responsibility for your life on your mom and something that happened 40 years ago? And do you see how perhaps life could shift and be different for you if you started just stepping into responsible? See how you can open that up? And that can be a very soft way of getting to the same result instead of looking at the person and saying, you know, you're just a whiny victim. I mean, yeah, it might be true, but are you going to be effective in your communication? So don't claim and say, but Mary Jo, you told us to be honest. And I go, well, yeah, there are ways of being honest and ways of being honest. So you want to be effective in your communication. And that comes first and foremost, be effective with your honesty. And the interesting thing about people, when we start really looking at people and we criticize them for different things, typically, and I put this quote out of the book, you can only criticize in others that which reflects your own experience. So usually, that's why the powerful passage in the Bible about taking, why don't you take the log out of your own eye before you take the speck out of another's? I read that. That's, of course, always looking at our own faults first before we find faults with others. But I also look at that passage because it's the same thing. It's a piece of wood in the eye. You could say, take the log out of your own eye before you take the stone out of another's. Well, the intriguing thing is that what we tend to see in other people that we don't like are really things that are all about us. We're like a mirror in that. We mirror ourselves in other people. And it's so true. If I look historically at people that I didn't like, or that they typically were people that were loud and controlling and had to be right and all this stuff, and it was like exactly where I was all those times, you know? It was like I didn't want to be upstaged by somebody else being loud and obnoxious because I wanted to be loud and obnoxious. You know, so those are the things that I saw, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago that I didn't like in people. It was incredible because, and what was it all about? It was about how I was being. And it's pretty humorous when you start looking at that. You can learn a lot about yourself when you start looking at the criticism you have of other people. The last thing in this honesty section is about the word try. And this is a word I've taken out of my dictionary. Trying is lying, in effect. When you tell people, I'll try to be there, there's no such thing as trying. You either be committed, or not committed. So you tell somebody and say, you know, I'm not really committed to being there, but I might still make it. Okay? So just tell them, I'm committed to being there. Mary Jo, I'm committed to being there. Okay? But trying is lying. Trying is really, the word try says, you know, I'm going to try means, I really am not going to make it, but I'm going to tell you that because I don't want you to get mad at me. So just be total, outright honest with people. Okay, the next chapter, let's go. That takes care of honesty. Not really. We could speak on honesty for another 10 hours. But the next chapter is on honor, and this one hit home to me in a lot of ways because I think this is another concept that leaves us. Compassionate samurai hates an incredible price, and many times we don't understand it. If you want to honor somebody, what does it mean to honor someone? It's to hold somebody in high esteem and respect. And dishonor in our society runs rampant. I mean, we're a very dishonoring society. We have children that don't honor their parents, that abuse their parents, and they say all sorts of things that are hurtful and harmful. We see that happen a lot. You see it in the school. You see it in churches. You see it in, we have children lying to our parents. Others swear at and are openly rebellious in front of them. We see athletes spit at each other and hit referees. We see that kind of abusiveness in the athletic realm. We see officials turn their blind eye towards steroid use, imposing only token penalties. That's dishonoring. Taunting has become so commonplace. When you look at the NFL, taunting has become so common, they had to put it in as a penalty. How dishonoring is that behavior? Politicians think nothing of throwing dirt at an opponent. It's just considered part of the game. It's a game. It's like, how do I throw more dirt? You know, if they get desperate, they start throwing dirt. And, you know, we as a society tend not to think that politicians are ever going to tell the truth, because we've seen so much dishonesty come forward. So we don't honor them. Lawyers are held in low esteem. I get lawyer jokes all the time. Because they're known for doing whatever it takes, regardless of principles. That's kind of a reputation they've developed. You know, kids join gangs because they to find honor because they can't find it anyplace else. Here was a big one for me. A member of the Dixie Chicks, you guys might remember, the country singing group, made some derogatory remarks about President Bush. And in response to that, tens of thousands of Americans trashed their CDs in response. And, you know, whether you like President Bush or not, the concept is that, you know, you sure have freedom of speech, but how are you using that speech, people? Because words are so powerful. You can disagree with President Bush, but you don't have to be, I mean, she was calling him names. I mean, it was like, you know, you could say, I don't think that the idea of going into Iraq was a good policy decision on the part of, you know, the United States. That's okay. But dishonoring the President of the United States is not going to be healthy for our country. It has an impact in so many ways. And I really looked at that really hard and long because there have been a lot of reasons why people in this country have dishonored George Bush in the last, you know, 8 years, if not in the last 2 years for sure. I mean, when he has a 30% acceptance rate in the polls, there aren't a lot of people that like this guy. But the idea is he still is the President of the United States, and we don't want to dishonor that position, the Commander-in-Chief. We can disagree with policies, but the concept of dishonoring has a price that I don't think we want to pay. We as a society don't want to pay. We as a society tend to hide the effects and consequences of dishonoring, but the truth is that it's eventually going to catch up with us. It's one of the reasons, even during the Clinton years, if you look at that and you say, all the things that he did dishonestly caused us to dishonor him and dishonor that office. Because it's hard to just dishonor the person. So all of a sudden, we don't have respect for that office anymore. And we've got to get back to creating something different. I remember growing up as a kid. I mean, you know, the President of the United States was honorable, and we had tremendous respect and honor, and we run for the United States for the President. I mean, I couldn't do that. I mean, that's a huge, it's a different arena, but the kind of commitment it takes, I just look at these people, even in running. I mean, these guys are all over each state. They're, you know, this primary stuff drives me crazy. But what a commitment in their heart of hearts to serve this country, to do all of that, no matter what you think about their policies and what they believe and all. But, you know, we need to honor people. We need to step up and be different. We need, and that really hit me hard. This chapter hit me really hard. So we need to start looking at honoring people, you know, and that's holding people in high esteem and respect, and having respect for an office, even if we may not don't respect some of the decisions a person made, you know. That still is an incredible thing to say, I'm giving my life to try to make this a better world. They may be off base, but you know what? I don't think George Bush, as much as he might be off base in many different things, I don't think the guy's doing it to be off base. I think he's doing it because he has a heart and passion to try to help this country. And I feel that way about every person running for public office. I think they do it with a heart and passion of helping. Because why would you put through all that effort of pain and agony of what they go through to get there? So we start looking at the word honor, and again, the price we pay is incredible if we don't honor people. Honor our spouse and honor our children. We need to honor our children. They need to honor your mother and father, as we see in Scripture, but we need to honor our children as well. So, again, when you realize that by honoring others, you really are honoring yourself. And that's where you start depleting. When we start dishonoring people, we are dishonoring ourselves at the same time. And he put in the book that the compassionate samurai even honored their enemies because they knew the price they paid when they treated people with dishonor. So how do we honor others around us? And I gave you a laundry list. Be a great listener. You know, we just be great listeners. Be with. Hear people, really hear people. Show that you're interested in their opinions, their attitudes, their knowledge. That's how you can honor somebody. Giving up having to have to be right for events and meetings and people is so dishonoring. So look at your life and say, how can I start being more honoring? I need to be on time. I need to be with. I need to be, you know, right? So do that. Give other people credit and acknowledgement. Honor people by acknowledging them. I love acknowledging people. Remember and refer to people by their first name. That's tough for some of us. I have some people at church I just can never. So now I'm coming home from Sunday, and I'm spending like 15 minutes with the church book just so I can just keep putting those names, because I usually have incredible memory, but there's something about my church people, I just get confused, so I'm working on that. But it's important to acknowledge people by their first name, so take the action to do that. And you can think of many other ways to honor people. The other aspect of this is honoring yourself. You want to honor yourself. And people, this is one area that we tend to cut ourselves short on. I was huge in this area. When I did some self-development a few years back, and the coach said, Mary Jo, what are your self-honoring practices? And I looked at him like, what are you talking about? All I do is give. I just go out and give. And some people see me on the road 24/7 and all this stuff, and they think, oh, my gosh, well... He started asking me, he says, well, what do you want different about yourself? What would you like? You know, and one of the things was, this is, I think it was four years ago now. And I said, well, you know, I always was in shape as an athlete. I played college basketball. And I said, I'd love to get back in shape again. He goes, well, why aren't you doing it? And I said, because I don't have, and I started laughing. I almost got it out, but I started laughing before I finished. What was I going to say? Because I don't have time. And I started laughing before the word time came out, because that's a big fat lie. Talk about dishonesty. There's dishonest to yourself. Every single one of you on this call has time to work out. It's just about what you prioritize in your life, what's important to you. And I know if I don't take care of myself, I can't take care of other people. And if I lose self-esteem and self-respect because I don't honor myself, then I'm not going to be able to honor other people. How you treat yourself is a direct reflection of how you will treat others. That's a huge aha, people, a huge aha. So start looking. I put it on the outline today. I said, make a list today of self-honoring practices. Those you are now doing and those you today, going forward, commit to start doing in your life. Self-honoring practices can be massages, they can be quiet time with the Lord, they can be working out, they can be whatever you feel that is honoring to you, going to spas, you know, getting your hair done, getting your nails done, things that are important to you that you've been foregoing because you're into this martyrdom. And don't become a martyr. You know, martyrs are people that give all their time and energy to everybody else and fail to support themselves. Because you can't serve others without refilling the tank. And then the last point in the outline is dishonoring makes you small, and those around you are impacted as well. And Clemmer talks a lot about his West Point days, because that's really big and obviously had a major impact on him. But the neat thing about West Point is they have something called duty, honor, and country. The cadets had an honor code, which said a cadet couldn't lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate anyone who did. That was their honor code. And then they had rules that they all had to abide by. So they had certain rules in the barracks and stuff like that. So if you got caught drinking, you'd have, you know, like you'd lose some of your freedoms, and they'd, you know, restrict you to barracks. So you had to clean the toilets for a week or whatever. But if somebody accused you of drinking and you lied about it and they caught you lying about it, you'd get expelled from West Point. And you could say, well, but all I was doing was drinking, and that guy only had to do the toilets. But if you lied about it, you got expelled. Lying and cheating were grounds for expelling. And that was such a staunch standard, because what? Honor violates everything. And honor, if they allowed people to dishonor the cadets at West Point, then it was dishonoring the reputation of every single one of them. And when we understand that dishonoring ourselves or being dishonorable impacts our family, our church, our Manatech as a company. That's why sometimes people look at some of the programs coming out or some of the things that people are coming up with, and you go, you roll your eyes and you go, oh my gosh, you know, when that happens, it's going to be so bad for Manatech, because it's going to dishonor all of us when it fails, you know. And we worry about those things that we don't, you know, that we disagree with, and that's why we need to voice our, but it's really critical that we want to understand that dishonorment really impacts everything around. It's not just about you, it's about everything around you. And that's why the cadets, that's why they take such a stance. And when they first become cadets, they typically comply with this code because of fear of being expelled, but soon they start making it a commitment. It goes from compliance to committed. And there's a big difference between those words. You can be compliant and without being committed, but, you know, you want to always direct your life at being committed. So I leave you with the last quote at the end about honor, because it's really cool. It said, average people never care about their actions or whom they affect. They just live each day for their own pleasure, not thinking about the trail of negative seeds they're sowing. Average people don't think about others. They're selfish. Compassionate samurai live their lives for the value, benefit, and reputation of others. for their team as a whole. And then I ask the question, who are you? Okay, people, I think we're done. So anyone have any questions or issues about what we talked about? Honesty and honor today, two gigantic characteristics.
Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
The transparency versus honesty issue is going to transform my business.
Isn't that going to be, isn't that wonderful?
And I'll just give you one quick example, if I might.
Okay.
I have feared for years the question, how much are you making?
Uh-huh.
And that's from my years of networking background, et cetera. You know, it's always the fake it till you make it crap that we've learned about for so many years.
Right, right.
It's never, ever, ever that I lie. And people that are around me in my life know that I don't.
Uh-huh.
But what freedom it's going to be not to worry about being transparent. Because it's going to even serve the people better than if I made some crap up, which I wouldn't,
Absolutely. Yeah, and maybe you didn't make crap up, but maybe you just didn't tell them at all, or you just said,
what I make
doesn't matter or something, and now you can be totally transparent with it. Absolutely.
And it ate me up. It was more what it did to me.
There
even
you go.
If I was telling the truth.
I know.
That I don't need to worry about that crap.
No.
Because telling people the truth and sharing struggles is equally important as everything else we do.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Praise God.
Great acknowledgement. Yoo-hoo! Yahoo! That's exactly what you hit the nail on the head. Transparency versus honesty. Great. Anyone else? Okay, people, great. Well, thanks for the call, and I'm glad you guys were on it, even though it's a wonderful holiday. Have a great day, and we will talk next week. We'll go through chapters 7 and 8, and then we'll conclude the book the next week after that, and onward and upward. Love you all, and have a great week. And remember, I think this is our last week of the business period, so make sure you do what you need to do and get things done. Okay, love you.
But how appropriate that on George Washington's celebration you came out with all of this.
Oh, isn't that incredible? I never even thought about that.
I did, but I didn't want to unmute and interrupt you. I just thought it was awesome.
Oh, that's wonderful. The quote was from George Washington on the President's Day. That's so appropriate. Thank you for acknowledging that. That's great.
Awesome.
Thanks. All right. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.